The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I could do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org. Why might this be that since 2010, college freshmen are reporting, self-reporting, more psychological disorders than before? Is college harder? Probably not. I imagine it's a fair bit easier than it has been in the past. It seems that we are catering more and more to college students, to their sense of tolerance. Just go to the average college campus. You will see exactly what I'm talking about. Accommodating them in more ways than ever. It's certainly, while it's more expensive to go to college than it ever has been before, it's also more home-like for these kids than it ever has been before, and fewer restrictions on their behavior. So why are they reporting more psychological disorders? Joining us to answer that question, to explore it a little bit more, Joy Pullman. She is managing editor of The Federalist, author of The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled College Freshman Self-Reports of Psychological Disorders Doubled Since 2010. Joy, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
How would you begin to kind of suss out what the cause or causes of this spike in reporting or self-reporting of psychological disorders among college freshmen are?
Well, in the survey data that we have, we don't have, you know, specific sources. We basically kind of have to guess or triangulate based on other things that we are observing happening in society and other studies and data. And so I would place one of the biggest factors actually at the divorce rate. Parents' divorces do have a significant and long-term effect on their kids, and the United States currently has a very high one. And it really matters, you know, people always want to tell themselves the kids will be fine, so on and so on, but the kids are not fine. That would be one of them. I think part of it also could be social contagion. So if there's a lot of evidence about these sorts of social things that, so for example, like in the 1980s with, you know, drug resistance education, you know, DARE and all the programs that were coming out then, or things like Alcoholics Anonymous, we now know that raising awareness of social problems actually increases the social problem often. So if you, you know, because if you're especially telling kids, but if you're telling people, oh, lots and lots of people are doing this, it's an epidemic, then they kind of do what is today the equivalent is, you know, going on WebMD and looking up symptoms and finding out that you certainly have cancer, you know. You say, well, oh, sometimes I'm sad. Sometimes I'm very distressed, or I feel stressed and like I can't handle things. And rather than saying, well, that's pretty normal part of life. You know, of course, there are extremes, there are red flags, but, you know, most people feel stressed out sometimes. Most people have blue days. People start to say, oh, they label themselves, I have a condition, rather than, well, this might actually probably be part of life. So those are the kind of some of the things that come to my mind most directly.
So that kind of addresses the self-reporting aspect of this, because what you're essentially saying there is it's quite possible, at least in the latter case that you mentioned, that they are simply making an inaccurate diagnosis of their own situation. For those that may be genuine, do you think that so-called helicopter parenting might have something to do with entering freshmen thinking themselves, they're losing their minds?
Yes, I think it actually does, you know, because, you know, by the time a young person gets to college, let's be real, they're not only legally an adult, but they ought to be maturity-wise an adult, right? You know, 18 years is pretty old. Most people in the rest of the world's history would have already been started on their profession by then. Lots of them would have been married. You know, they would be taking on adult responsibilities and tasks. And instead, in the United States, you know, half of us send our kids off to basically Pleasure Island for 4 years, or 6 years actually is more common. And until that point, you know, a lot of times parents have not prepared their kids for the responsibilities of adulthood. We've told them, oh, they should be on Pleasure Island, rather than saying, look, life is hard. You're going to have to work for a very long time. You know, it's going to be tiring. You're going to be stressed out. And the mark of your character in your adulthood is actually how well you handle it. Your grace under pressure, as Ernest Hemingway would have put it. So instead of that, we tell them, oh, you shouldn't feel pain. There should be nothing wrong with you. And the kids take that message to heart, and then they can't feel confused about, wow, you know, wow, I'm on my own for the first time. I'm actually having to do some things by myself. And my parents did not prepare me for this being what the real world was like.
So let's be specific. What kind of problems are these kids, these college freshmen, typically reporting?
If you rely on some of the data that we, you know, have gotten, especially in kind of, there's a lot of stories that, you know, it's been in the news a lot lately, colleges hiring more psychologists, counselors, of course, the famous Play-Doh and coloring books and puppies at exam time. But that's been a thing that's been going on for a long time. And there's a lot of, actually, there's a lot of it that is not, people can't seem to put their finger on it. It seems kind of like actually existential angst. So that actually makes me wonder if we have not, and I know this is, you know, you and I know this is the case, our society no longer communicates clearly to young people what has been proven to give them meaning and purpose in life. Obviously, a faith, a religious commitment, a family, a source of employment as well as occupation, you know, as vocation, something to dedicate your life to professionally, as well as, you know, a broader community that you, again, you contribute to. So those are the four things, for example, that social scientist Charles Murray has identified, you know, based on thousands of years of human experiences, things that give people stability and meaning in life. And in today's society, you know, most people and young people are told, well, it's all completely up to them. If you don't feel like having a family, if you don't feel like having religion, if you don't even feel like working, you know, that's perfectly fine, you do you. Well, it turns out that when they enact that kind of fluffy philosophy in the real world, they feel rudderless, they feel confused, dazed, and depressed, and they don't know why, because we haven't told them the truth.
Joy Pullman is our guest, managing editor of The Federalist. We're talking about college students' self-described psychological disorders when we come back. Well, if you've been told you're special, that you have unlimited potential, that you learn differently, what's college going to be like for you?
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana, Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota, Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking with Joy Pullman of The Federalist about college students and self-described psychological disorders. Joy, I was thinking during the break about what you said before about kids. We've been lying to these kids, in many cases, their parents, their teachers up to this point. They get to college and it's kind of a splash of cold water in the face. They've been told that they can be self-directed in not only in their education, but throughout life. They've been told they're special, of unlimited potential, that they learn differently in their own completely unique way. That's going to make college and then afterwards real life pretty hard to take, isn't it?
Right. And young people are, you know, we've seen them kind of have this tug of war with their colleges, trying to get their, you know, their parents' vision to be reflected by the colleges at large. Now, kids with these psychological disorders are demanding, I have to have twice as much testing time as everybody else gets. The Wall Street Journal was talking about how the University of Minnesota had to rent out a hotel across from their university campus and then put painter's tape over all of the door latches and things in order to create, you know, quiet testing spaces for us, because so many students had claimed exemptions. And there's nothing wrong with these kids. We're not talking about people who have actual physical handicaps. You know, they're not blind. They're not actually deaf. You know, they have all their limbs. You know, they have nothing but basically psychological, you know, their mind is telling them they believe their own reports about how, you know, they need to be unique and different. And the college is accommodating them, partly, you know, because they need to keep their customers happy. And so if they just placate them, and it works out better for the college, but also partly because we have legal regimes that require, you know, people to bend over backwards, even when people are making up their malady.
What kind of challenges do these self-diagnosed psychological disorders place on the instructors, the educators, and the teachers?
I was actually just talking about that today with a law professor who emailed me about my article to say, you know, she, as a professor, has to often fight with her college administration to say, look, I'm training kids to be lawyers in a very tough world. If they can't pass this class, they're not going to be a good lawyer. We cannot accommodate them to the point and pass them all the way and give them our diploma, saying that they have learned what it objectively takes in order to do this profession. You know, if they can't objectively do what it takes to do this profession, you know, this test is kind of it's talking about whether this person is ready to do this job, and if they can't do the test, they can't do the job, really. And so there's definitely this tug of war between lowering standards for achievement, for excellence, you know, for actually holding the line on, you know, people acting like adults and taking on big jobs, versus people saying, well, I want to be seen as someone who can do a tough job without actually having to do a tough job. You know, well, at some point, that corruption is going to go so deep that people are not going to have people who are difficult professions like lawyer, like doctor, you know, like engineer, building bridges. You know, you need those people to actually have met those objective standards. You want that doctor operating on you to have passed all of his classes and not been given exemptions for them, because that's a stressful thing to be doing that surgery on you, you know. That's why we have those standards. So the point being, that really is kind of the thing that we're doing in our attempts to be nice to people and make them feel better about themselves. Ultimately, what we are doing is reducing the quality of our social things that we offer to people, that are important achievements of our civilization, such as law, medicine, you know, all the other vocations that college is supposed to train people to do.
Could part of it also be that this generation of kids, while they've been put on the career track,
so often in the case of public schools, they're put on a career track, golly, even in their freshman year of high school, or at least they're encouraged to do something like that. Get to college, realize that they don't really want to do this, and they really don't know what they want to do with the rest of their lives. Although when they graduated a couple months ago from high school, they were certain they did.
Yeah, that's a really great question because, I mean, I know a lot of young people, this is graduation season, both high school and college, of course, and that, the question of what do you want to do with yourself seems it really, really weighs heavy on young people. And part, I think really part of the problem is, I know that it is, that there's so many opportunities, which of course sounds counterintuitive, but if you can do anything, then it's much more easy to kind of sit there and tread water and basically do nothing, rather than if your options are very few. You know, you could be a farmer, or you can be a farmer, or you could be a farmer or maybe, you know, a tradesman in a few opportunities you have available to you. So I have seen that happen with a lot of young people. And I think, you know, part of the answer, I mean, is giving them structure. You know, you say, as a parent, really need to give their kids specific, achievable guidance and goals that are concrete, rather than saying, as my own well-meaning parents did to me, honey, you're smart, you can do whatever you want, we'll support you. I know that they loved me and they, you know, really meant well, and I turned out to be okay, but I have seen a lot of other young people get that same kind of advice and not be okay, you know, but because what they really want is for mom and dad maybe to sit down and say, look, you know, you are good at math, you're good at using your hands, why don't you try the robotics team, you know, or you hate math, you're bad at it, but you're, you know, really good at taking care of people. Think about teaching or counseling, perhaps, you know, here, this program over here will help walk you through these steps, and, you know, you can try it in an internship or a class, and if you don't like it, that will still be a growing experience that helps you learn more and get farther along in the right direction. So I actually really think that parents particularly, but at the rest of society, we need to be giving young people better and more concrete life scripts, better guidance and direction, more specific things, rather than just saying, you know, the world is your oyster, sweetheart, go out and become a pearl, you know, randomly without any help from anybody.
Finally, then, if this is the case with college freshmen, and college is hard, at least it ought to be difficult. I mean, we talk about earning a degree. We don't talk about just kind of putting in your time until the degree falls in your lap. Life after college is exponentially more difficult. If these college freshmen entering here just experiencing, worst case scenario, just experiencing the stresses of real life for the first time, think that they're cracking up, what's going to happen after they get the college diploma?
Well, that's just the thing, you know, if you tell people you need more time for your test, if you tell people, oh, I need to miss all of the deadlines that the professor gives me, these young people, and, you know, we've also seen news reports about this, they go into the workplace and their boss says, look, I need this done by this deadline. And, you know, the 22-year-old looks back at them and says, oh, I'm afraid, you know, I can't do that. You know, why are you so demanding? And the boss is looking at them like, because you want money in order for work, here's work, you know, do it to get the money. So it really does young people an injustice. And look, young people aren't as soft as we are all acting like they are. People are resilient. They are strong. You know, we're adaptable. We can, you know, we can achieve a lot of things. And that's really the message that young people need to hear. You can do this. It will be hard, but we're going to help you. You know, that is a much more empowering message to tell a young person than, oh, sweetheart, you know, I know that you feel bad, and don't worry, mommy will take all the pains away for you. You know, ultimately what that ends up being is an enabling relationship, which is, you know, psychologically and, you know, in many other ways, destructive to a person, rather than an affirming and empowering relationship where people actually learn skills, they put in the work, and they become the kind of person who can look back on achievements and say, I did that, I have self-worth because I have actually done something with my life.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled College Freshmen's Self-Reports of Psychological Disorders Doubled Since 2010. You can read it and purchase The Education Invasion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest. We're going to talk about a column in the New York Times titled The Supreme Court's Next Abortion Chapter. And it alleges that the anti-abortion strategy, this is quoting the New York Times piece, the anti-abortion strategy is to serve up a diet of far-fetched cases to the U.S. Supreme Court, mostly to rally the troops. We'll see what Carol thinks about that characterization on the other side of the break. Summer is car buying season. Save on your next car with the Lutheran Federal Credit Union's new car buying program. True Car leverages the buying power of millions of members to get you a great price on your next car. You can search new and used cars and even get a price online. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org. Carol Tobias will join us to talk about that New York Times column titled "The Supreme Court's Next Abortion Chapter." Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our Book of the Month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
Whether you're a man yourself or a woman who cares about the men in your life, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Join John Kleinig, Hans Feeney, Jeffrey Hammer, Broer Erickson, and others in this power-packed issue on men at church as they explore toxic masculinity, godly fatherhood, the religious gender gap, and more. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the Divine Service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org. That's ascensionofchrist, all one word, .org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.